Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Build It Better podcast. We have another amazing episode here today. My name's Tracy. You can follow me on Twitter at Lady Leet, and I'm joined by my co-host.
Ben Lesh. That's me. I thought you were going to finish the sentence, so I was like, waiting.
At this point, you guys can finish each other's sentence.
We're trying, you know, but there's still a pause, so we're out of sync.
Yeah.
There must have been like a delay in the internet or something. But yeah, we have a really amazing guest here today, Adam Bradley. Adam, you have done so many amazing things for our community. Do you want to introduce yourself and kind of give us a rundown?
Yeah, Adam Bradley. I have in the past worked with Ionic. So I helped create the Ionic framework. Since then, I'm at builder.io where I helped or I created PartyTown, which is that library that can help move third-party scripts into a web worker. And I'm still currently working on Quick and Quick City right now.
That's amazing. Cool. I really like the name Party Town.
It hits right. Yeah.
Like Quick City is still pretty cool. It sounds like a 70s like album or something. But yeah, like Party Town is Party Town. So
yeah. And actually, and I even forgot about Stencil.js is another project of mine. But I like your point about Quick City. I kind of have this vision of like a 70s album cover. Like that's
right. It does. It sounds like the name of like a Kiss album or something.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Yeah. All right. So there's Quick, and then there's Quick City. Is it just a town where Quick lives?
I think so. Naming things are hard, and we definitely wanted to have a different name for it because a meta framework, like, so you've got Quick, which is like Quick is to React is to Angular, and then you've got Quick City, which is a meta framework. So any meta framework could be on top of the framework, and so we didn't want to like kind of weld them together. We want to make sure that it like, well, maybe Quick City will adjust, maybe a different meta framework will come around, you know, such as Remix or Next.js. You know, like the version of that. So we did want to try to separate them. And it also has forcing us to separate between the framework and the meta framework has certainly, I think, has a lot of good architecture qualities in it and making sure that, you know, like this isn't a Quick City thing. This isn't a Quick thing, making sure that the APIs are in the right spot.
I feel like it should have just been called Meta Quick.
That's not bad.
Next time, I'm here for consultations.
MetaQuick sounds like it's some sort of digestive aid. Like, I don't know.
Yes, if you're over 62, try MetaQuick.
Yeah, yeah. And anyway, like, all right, so MetaQuick. I'm going to go get me a big old shake of MetaQuick. All right. So Quick City, I almost called it MetaQuick because it's stuck in my head now. Quick City, is it a meta framework? When you say meta framework and it's detached from Quick, are you saying that I've got a React project or something and there's no meta framework I'm using yet? Like, could I take my janky old React project and rejigger it to work with Quick City? Is that a thing?
Yeah, actually, one of the projects that we've got part of Quick is to Quickify a React component. And so basically, the way that React is written, the way Quick is written is extremely similar. Actually, you know, they return JSX. It's a function that's called. And so everything that's, and that's also not by mistake, you know, we want to make sure that it's using the same API that's very familiar to millions of developers, and that would be React. But yeah, we're able to take then any React component to include like a React Material UI and convert that at runtime into a Quick component, you know, and can be basically lazy loaded on demand for the different components, you know, or it might not have to be loaded at all. I'm saying like the JavaScript part of it doesn't have to be loaded. So we can still render the Material UI button, make it do everything it's supposed to do, and let Quick kind of just not run any of the JavaScript, which is kind of where it excels. And so the short answer is yes, we can take, you know, a kind of React apps and you can upgrade them to using Quick.
That's very cool. So, all right. So I like the names. Quick lends itself really well to all these names. So there's Quickify, Quick City. What was the other one that we just came up with for
MetaQuick?
Yeah, and I've had a problem recently where when I'm writing normal sentences and I have to use the word write quick, you know, I always spell it wrong with the K or Q W I K. And
yeah,
no, that's not how you spell quick.
That's happened to me before. There is I've worked on things since I worked on Angular where I had to type the word angle or something related to that, and I couldn't. It was just boom, Angular every single time. There was a while where I prefixed everything with ng for like no reason whatsoever. It was bad.
Ng React.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's cool. All right, so meta frameworks are they're difficult to write. When you're talking about a meta framework, you're talking about a meta framework not just in terms of like, oh, I have routing and all the client side stuff. You're talking about server side and client side and, you know, the whole like streaming results and those sorts of things.
Yeah, exactly. And what's been a lot of fun with, because we're on top of Qwik, because, you know, Qwik largely doesn't have to run most of JavaScript most times, we're able to like put a lot of that thought into the meta framework to make sure that like when you go to a page and then you do an SPA transition to the second page, there's actually very little JavaScript that needs to run at that time. And so that was a big part of it, is like we wanted to make sure that this meta framework was taking full advantage of how Qwik works. And really, because of how Qwik works, I think we've really blurred the lines between what an MPA is and an SPA is. And so, you know, MPA means that, you know, it's doing a full page reload, which certainly has its place. And then you got SPA, which when you transition between pages, it doesn't do a full page reload. It just kind of updates the different DOM elements currently in the window. And so there's often like, well, which one should I use at the very beginning of a project? Like, this is going to be an MPA project. It's a blog, so it doesn't need to have SPA transitions. Or, you know, this is a dashboard, so it must be an SPA. But these decisions are made at the very, very beginning of the project, and you can't really like change your mind halfway through. But what's cool with Qwik City is that we've kind of realized like, well, actually that decision is made on every single click. It's like, well, I want to do a full page reload for this click, but this click, let's stay as a dashboard, right? And so that's kind of been a big thought of how we've been doing Qwik City, is making sure that really there is no difference between a, you know, MPA and SPA at this point. You can decide at any time. You can make your entire blog be MPA if you wanted to, or it could be SPA, you know, using the link component. And so that's where I think it's a little bit different than most meta frameworks right now, is it's not just MPA or SPA. It's kind of both at the same time.
Tracy, do you say SPA or SPA?
Well, I like to say SPA, but NAPA would be NAPA.
Yeah, it's almost like a noise like a tuba would make or something.
Yeah, I say the SPA just to marry up with the MPA.
I like it. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I'll switch to it, Adam. I'll be honest. I'm probably going to say SPA, which means that MPA is going to come out MPA.
Okay.
If I want to round it out, right?
Okay.
When you talk about Qwik City, do you say it's a meta framework built on top of Qwik?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's basically, you know, Qwik is Svelte, Qwik City would be SvelteKit or Next.js or Remix, you know, you name it.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of inspiration with each of those. Largely, the most inspiration I would say from SvelteKit. I think they've kind of done it right from the very beginning. And so we've got, you know, file-based routing, we've got nested layouts, group layouts. So a lot of the similarities are there. And then the thing that I think that we're doing a really good job of would be the server actions and server loaders that we've been having. So it's fun to kind of get to a world where you can program in one file of having, you know, a MongoDB query and then showing what that query is, you know, all in the same file without really thinking about, well, there's no way this MongoDB can work inside of the browser. It's not possible.
Right. Yeah.
And so we're kind of getting to that point of like, well, this is all handled by Qwik because Qwik is able to, you know, realize what's the differences between the two. And then the same thing with the server actions, which I think, again, is kind of pioneered by Svelte. and Remix has been starting to do more of it. But the same thing is like how you handle the forum posts, how you handle any of the interactions that happen that would be either MPA or SPA. And so that's another thing is that we want to make sure that since we've already said, you know, it shouldn't matter what you're building, you know, you can code once and it's going to be MPA or SPA. It's up to you at that moment. The same thing would have to go for the forum. And so I know Remix talks a lot about this, but this is something that, you know, it's easily baked into Quick is that to make sure that the forum post, whether you're doing, you know, staying client side or whether you want to do an actual forum post, really doesn't matter how you code it. It's like how it's coded is going to be the exact is run the same in either application.
What is the state of, like, I haven't really looked into this because so I work in data visualization right now and it's mostly an internal app. There's no like, there's no server side rendering, but I'm wondering like what with Meta Frameworks, what the state of the art is for dealing with Canvas, right? Because that's like a thing when you're doing data visualizations, you have to deal with Canvas a lot. And usually it's the one of the more, I wouldn't say it's like the most expensive thing that's happening in your JavaScript, but it's up there because it's something that, you know, like you have to render repeatedly, or maybe you have to render a really big, you know, grid of data or you know, charting values or whatever. Is does Quick or I don't even know if any server-side framework have an answer for that, or is it just like, you know, use Node Canvas and hope for the best?
From my understanding and like what we would do is largely, you know, you render the element itself, but then you don't actually try, you know, on the server side, you don't try to do the code that would kick it in, but rather it would then have the use client effect where it says, okay, now that we're loaded, you know, because it's going to load extremely fast. Like HTML is there right away.
Right.
And with Quick, all of the stuff to make it, I guess, in React's world would be hydrate doesn't need to happen. So it's going to immediately load. And the first thing that's pretty much going to happen is like, okay, now client side render this canvas. And so that's going to be a lot of speed ups there because you don't have to, you know, hydrate the entire application, but rather you serve the HTML. HTML is as fast as it can be. And then the very first thing that's going to happen is like, okay, now let's kick in this, this canvas. And I think that's kind of similar to like our REPL. You know, REPL uses Monaco, which is, you know, just purely client side editing, you know, same thing. You can't run Monaco on Node, or in our case on Cloudflare. And so it's the same thing. We render that element of like, this is a Monaco editor. And in the moment that HTML renders, it then kicks it in.
That's cool. So you have like a Monaco instance that's running in Quick or with like a Quick like behavior right now or no?
Yeah, it's built into the doc site where we've got a component that, yeah, it pretty much is a Monaco component, which knows to render everything it needs to know to render, you know, the div and where everything goes and how to configure it. And so all that's in there. And then what's cool about the REPL is again, like when you go to it in your browser, the response is a completed HTML of the entire shell, basically. And the only thing that needs to happen is, well, let's kick in that that Monaco instance because it's all JavaScript, right? And so it's kind of an advantage of what Quick can do is that it doesn't need to hydrate the whole REPL application. It just needs to hydrate the things that you're looking at right now. Or not, and hydrate's the wrong word. It needs to just like wake up.
Right.
Resume. Yeah.
Very cool. Tracy, we were talking beforehand about like some of the weird challenges that these meta frameworks like to face. Do you remember the what were we talking about? We were talking about like a different, there's like different hosting environments and stuff, right? Like
I don't remember. We talked about so many things, but yeah. I guess the question to you, Adam, is like, what are some of the challenges?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest challenges, you know, making Quick City, we want to have a very common request response using kind of the standards, right? Like there's now a request and response object. And we want to be able to just write Quick and it can be deployed anywhere. It's not like deployed to Azure or it goes to AWS. Like there's not a specific server it's going on. It's just going to a server. And so with that, you got middleware and you got adapters that can generate the correct bundles and put them in the right locations for that server. And then the middleware knows how to handle the request and know how to handle the response. So I think the biggest challenge that I'm working on right now would definitely have to be that concept of like, know, there's one way to write Quick or Quick City, I guess. And you can deploy it like, oh, I want to deploy it to Vercel. But basically the under the hood part that's difficult is making sure that that common way can map to that server's way of doing things. And so most, you know, a lot of developers are familiar with kind of the Express Node.js Express servers, where it kind of gives you a request and it gives you a response and you basically call a couple methods on it, fill it in, and everything's handled for you. And that's somewhat probably the easiest one. But it's also a very custom Node thing, probably because Node's been around for forever. You know, there was no standard back then.
Right.
But either way, it's a very Node.js way of doing a request response. But then you've got, in today's world, you've got serverless environments, you've got edge functions, and under the hood, they kind of got all entirely different architectures of how they work. You know, I think Netlify uses Dino. Cloudflare has its own V8 instance. Vercel is largely using Node, but I'm not really quite sure exactly what the architecture is using under the hood. But really, Vercel is extremely tailored to Next.js. You can deploy to it. They have all sorts of documentation on how to deploy to, you know, do the build output to Vercel, but it's basically for Next.js, which makes sense. It makes complete sense that that's their focus. But anyways, back to Quick City and writing these different adapters and middleware to try to map them to a different thing has been extremely challenging because they all have an extremely different way to handle things. Especially when it comes to streaming. And I mean like the actual HTTP streaming. So one cool thing that Quick can do is that it's able to stream the actual rendering. So each component is all async. One component might take 2 seconds to load for some reason. You know, other components will load immediately. But either way, we can actually stream the HTML one by one. And if you wanted to slow it down, you could see, you know, the stream across the wire happening. And so when we made Quick City, we wanted to make sure to take advantage of that to make sure that, like, well, we can, you know, have, you know, like say we want to do a second long query to a database to load product data, and it takes that long to download it. Let's say we can actually hang up or have the response wait on that completion, so it can stream all the way up until that point, up until the product data, finished completing the product data, and keep streaming. And so either way, I thought it was pretty important to make sure that that all worked, which has been easier said than done, because again, every single server and how they do streaming is entirely different. And so that's been kind of the challenge that we've been working with. And it's been kind of fun writing the end-to-end tests on the different servers. Of how they would do that. So
like each server has a separate adapter and you're trying to like bundle it all together into like one thing. Like, yeah, can you take that and kind of like abstract it away so other people can use it?
Yep, exactly. So like there's the whole idea is I'm building a Quick City app and I'm going to put it on Vercel. So add the Vercel adapter and boom, it works. The problem is that you're probably working on Node.js, or there's a very good chance you're developing on Node.js, and then you're pushing it to an edge function, which probably isn't Node.js, or it might be on Dino, you know. And so it's kind of a challenge because you've got two of the entirely different environments you're developing on, and this is all stuff that Next.js is aware of, you know, stuff that they're solving with their code. But once we get to the edge functions is when it really becomes a challenge, because we're not really talking Node.js anymore. You're talking some other environment. I mean, even Bun can start getting involved into this stuff.
Yeah, it's funny. It's almost the same problem as you have like whenever you're doing just general web development, but you run all your tests in Node.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's the same sort of idea where it's like, oh yeah, when I use it, I'm in a browser or I'm in any of N browsers, which is also the same problem. And then like, but when I test it, I'm running it in Node, which has no actual browser attached to it. And yeah, that's
it's a
similar problem anyway.
And each of the services, you know, they all have their CLI of having a dev server that you can preview how it would look. Well, under the hood, it's largely Express, right? You're still testing it on Node.js. You're not really testing it on the V8 instance or whatever the Dino instance that you have. As far as I know, as far as where I can see that, it's still like, it's not the same. And so once you get it into production, that's where, you know, things go wrong. So like the biggest challenge I had was with Cloudflare, where we have, you know, there's a in the response API, I forget the exact name of it, but it's like there's like a writable stream API that it has. And then we're using that. And this is a standard. It's on MDM docs of how to use it. And so you can write chunks to it. And then there's even a way to do a pipe to. And so we wanted to pipe to, you know, our stream to the response, and everything works great. And so we push it to Cloudflare, and you just get this white screen. It's not even an error. You get a 200 response. You know, you go to the logs of the server, nothing, you know. And so like that was extremely frustrating. I'm just like there's no logs whatsoever, no 500 error, nothing. And it just took a lot of deployments to production, to a production Cloudflare environment with a lot of console logs of like, when did it crash? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it eventually came down to like, they didn't support the pipe to function, you know, whereas like all the other ones do, you know, so Dino did and things. And so it, so then we had to have a, you know, a polyfill for that. So yeah, it's kind of to your point of like, oh, it didn't, the padding didn't work the same as it did in Firefox as it did in IE6.
Right. Yeah. It's like every time I'm talking to a backend engineer that works in like Java or something like that, and they're all like, oh, web development, like, you know, it's so easy or whatever. I'm just like, you're high. No, it's not. We write scripting language that then gets interpreted by like God knows what, wherever we send it. And then ta-da. Yeah. Like, I have it easy though. I work on internal apps and like everything's using, you know, Chromium Edge. So there's like, it's like it's the easiest job you can have in web development. It's not that bad.
Yeah, it's certainly like a liberating, like I'm only going to focus on Chrome. I could care less.
So I'm curious, like the adapter that you would write to get, say, just streaming working across all these platforms, it seems like, and I don't know if it's architected in this way at all, but like, it seems like something that you could open source and be like, here, everybody, here's a standard way to adapt to all these things. And even try to, if it got popular enough with people that weren't just Quick City, like it would be something that these other companies like Cloudflare and Vercel, whatever, might actually even contribute to keep things like working with their platforms.
Yeah, to a certain extent, as far as like the JavaScript runtime, I think I could see that. It's when it gets into bundling is where it really becomes a challenge. Whereas like, I think the most recent challenge we hit was bundling Material UI, because, you know, we can quickify React components. And so let's say you've got a Material UI button that you want to use. Well, Material UI also uses, the name is escaping me right now. How do they do CSS? Emotion. Yeah. So Material UI uses Emotion CSS. And one of the projects it uses has basically an if statement. It's like, oh, if you're on a worker, use this code. If you're in the browser, use this code. If you're in Node.js, use this code. So they have these if statements in their code. And again, like if you're just developing in Node.js, then you're great, good to go. But you're developing Node.js and then you push it to Dino, all of a sudden it's going to stop working. And so the challenge we're having now is like, well, this really does require two bundles. Like you've got your preview bundle that was built for Node.js, because that's the bundling of this project wants to have a certain JavaScript for Node.js. And then you want to bundle it for Vercel because they expect to be inside of let's say Dino, because they expect inside of a worker. So that's, I think, really been proven to be the bigger challenge, is understanding like the bundling aspects for the different environments. Whereas if it's just a function, like if it's, you know, purely JavaScript function, that can run anywhere. That's easy, you know. But if it's different if statements per environment, and it's way down the chain, you know, it's like five dependencies deep of things you've imported, that's where it really gets to be a challenge.
It's almost like they need to have some sort of standardized environment variable. So you could use like dead code removal to be like, nope, I'm not using anything but this. And then anyone that didn't implement that would just get penalized. Like, oh, if I use your platform, I'm going to get huge bundle sizes. So I'll just use one of these other ones that actually does implement the environment variable. But yeah.
Every time it happens, create like a Twitter pot calling them out on the internet so they fix it.
Hey, Guillermo, your platform sucks.
No, to Vercel's credit, they've opened up all of like the docs of how to the build output targets and things like that. You know, they've just solved it already. I mean, they've just have it, you know, it's built into Next.js is how to solve it.
It's a weird, that whole that whole group of like hosting, I don't know anybody at Azure, I don't think. Maybe I do. I'm sorry if someone's listening to this and they're like, I work there and you don't know me. But like, it seems like there's a lot of really good people that are really into open source across all of those companies that are doing these sorts of things. And like, I don't know, there's probably room for them to collaborate on some of this because, you know, it benefits their customers to be able to be like, oh, well, or it benefits them too. If someone's like, oh, I want to switch from Azure to Cloudflare today or whatever, like,
I mean, that's my favorite thing to do, going back to like contributor days, right? Just like getting everyone, you should do that, Adam. Like just get everyone together and be like, look,
just to get
these are the standards we need to create. I'm happy to help with this too.
I know. That's why I said it. Look how excited she is.
Yeah, I am. I'm like, I could solve a problem.
And I will say it kind of is somewhat, air quotes, solved.
Okay, good.
with the response request, you know, like these are standardized objects and they do have docs and MDM and you know, Dino really is leading the way and like following the standards of how request response works. And even Cloudflare is used that entirely. But then, you know, Vercel has a slightly different request response, which is very similar to, it basically looks a lot like Node.js. But then again, the environment is different. And so that's where it gets kind of weird is like with the standards way, you create this response object, you return it right away, and then you can keep streaming to, you know, a certain part of it. With a Express, it's kind of different where you're like, you're already given a response object and then you start filling it in. And so like with those two different concepts, it really makes it difficult to, you know, make a common way to do a request response. And so, also with QuickCity, we wanted to make sure that, you know, you can have endpoints, you can create API endpoints anywhere, whether it, renders HTML as an actual page or it gives you a JSON. It really doesn't matter how you code that. You get to like, well, I'm going to use JSX to return the HTML and it's going to be, text HTML response. Or this page is going to actually be, I'm going to stream an image that I resize or something like that. And so like, it was kind of fun to think of QuickCity as really just a way to handle request responses, you know, and they can, and whether it's a page, whether it's a JSON response, it really under the hood is the same concept. And so that was fun too, is that, you know, anything under the API directory is what can be, you know, used as API. That's not the case. It's really like whatever you want to do with your own APIs is can work.
I think it's so fun, like just listening to you talk, because, you know, what I feel is happening right now, right? Like you look at, you know, this whole, remember when ES 2015 was like the big thing and it took so long for it to get there. And, you know, you had, you know, the Ember and the Angular and React kind of happening at that time. I feel like now as, you know, technology is becoming like more advanced, where, you know, we need to worry about like deploying to the edge and this and that and whatever now, and just so much more happening. It's like we're, you know, we're a few years in, or maybe like 1 or 2 years into, you know, the next 8 years of our life.
The web in general is in a really weird spot right now, because it's like when I started, it was like all server side rendering, and then it went to all client side rendering. And now it's like somewhere in between the two, and weirder, like it was like before it was like, seriously, like every 2 or 3 years, people would completely rewrite their application. Like, and then it moved out to be like once every 5 years or so. And now like people are working on apps that have been like in place for 7 years, 10 years in some cases. And, you know, they're like locked in with, they've got huge teams working on big apps with like, they're locked into like some older version of React or something. And like, there's all these super tantalizing, really cool things that they could try to move to. And it's just like, well, we could do that, but we'd have to rewrite 2000 enzyme tests. So we can't even get off of our version of React. Like there's these.
Well, I think enterprise is so interesting, because even like, in some of the instances when we do consulting, it's like, well, we just have all these tests turned off because we just can't, they're too flaky. And it's like,
problem solved. Like,
you know, and you know, we go in there, we're like, okay, let's just try to turn them off one by one and like figure out what the hell is wrong with your pipeline.
Yeah.
But no, that's I think it's, People are waiting though, right? Like people are waiting for things to be like more, you know, more stable. Like when, I mean, I love Dino, don't get me wrong, because we did a state of Dino and I was like, oh my God, everybody needs to use Dino. Why isn't everybody using Dino, right? I mean, this the Dino core team really convinced me that Dino was, and then you tell me that like Netlify is using Dino under the hood. I'm like, that's so scary. What about the node compatibility? Like, is it okay? You know, is it still okay to use? You know, so I mean, I love that, you know, our space and, you know, probably like the people in the Twitterverse or the Fediverse who are developers are like excited about these new techs. But have you seen a lot of adoption enterprise-wise, Adam?
Actually, yeah, we've got a couple. I probably shouldn't name them, but we've got a couple pretty big names that are we're working
That's
with.
amazing.
Yeah, and so it is kind of fun because you know it's funny, like the you know someone building a blog on the weekend just for fun, you know, they'll say like, yeah, this is cool, right? You know, but then when you get to the point of if you can server side render your application extremely fast. And your users see it extremely fast, you know, within, you know, milliseconds of the response, you know, like, and it's working. You can actually have this working application. That makes a massive difference to massive companies, you know, and their large applications. And so it's kind of funny what I guess my point was like, they're the ones that really see it, the ones that have these huge applications that, you know, like milliseconds matters to their bottom line and things like that. They're the ones they immediately see like, yes, this is solving our problem because we do see that, you know, React hydration is taking way too long. You know, on a mobile device, it's taking, you know, 5 seconds for you to be able to do anything. You're like, well, it works fine on my MacBook. But you know, in the real world, you know, out on the bus, it's a different thing. And so that's why again, like the large companies do see this issue and they're the ones that have been contacting us the most actually.
I mean, that's amazing. So, yeah, really exciting to see all the excitement being picked up with Quick and Quick City. And you know, I mean, you all have a I mean, I'm so glad Shai is with y'all. If for those of you listening, Shai Resnick, if you want to know what he's up to, he's hanging out with Quick. So you can see like his Facebook post. There's actually like a Quick, is it called Quickly the newsletter? Or Quick, I don't, what's the newsletter called?
I think I don't know. I forget what it is. Maybe
Anyways, there's a great newsletter. There's a
it's.
Quick newsletter you should check out and sign up for as well. And then there's also a Discord channel, which is really great. I mean, you're really seeing like a lot of you know, people you're probably familiar with in the community kind of like going and joining the Quick community and building things out. I mean, at this.we are too, so you can check out like framework.dev and starter.dev if you want to like if you're building your greenfield app and you just need to spin up, you can use our Quick starter kit, for example. But no, it's just so exciting, Adam. Thank you so much. And we will have Manu, who is on the team as well, coming on to an episode soon. So
And he can
we can
definitely go
talk
much
more.
more in depth on the Quick side of things and how the components work and how we're able to, you know, basically not run JavaScript and which is
And Ben's going to be championing Quick and Quick City adoption in his company, like right after this call, right?
Excellent. I may or may not been alluding to our situation with enzyme tests. So there's
You've heard.
that. But
Well,
like I don't know. Like so I think about this like, you know, we've got these amazing technologies like Quick, and you can make things so fast now, so easy. And then yesterday I tried to sign my daughter up for youth soccer on a really fast machine on like, you know, a full gig connection and you know, bringing up the shopping cart took like a solid 10 seconds. I was like, what is happening right now? And you look and you're like, did I just download like the Library of Congress? Like, what is what? Like I could start streaming like 4K video faster than this shopping cart came back. I was shocked. It was amazing.
Yeah, real quick story. I'll be over. But like, so I'm dealing with this stuff constantly, dealing with, you know, server side rendering, trying to worry about speed, performance, things like that. You know, and then one day I went out to a junkyard with my dad because my dad's got a 62 Ford Falcon. We were getting parts for it, and we're like in the middle of nowhere, right? And I'm programmer, you know, going through the junkyard, and we go into this shack that the owner has, you know, and, you know, we're saying we want to buy these hubcaps, and the guy is on his phone, and he's just like frustrated. Like, again, we're in the middle of the woods, it's like middle of nowhere. And this guy's just like, this app doesn't load. I can't get this damn thing to work. You know, this is the first thing he says to us, you know, and I'm like, oh God, I better not tell him I'm a web developer. You know, it's like, and he just starts frustrating. He's like, I'm trying to get this thing to work. I'm clicking this button. It's doing nothing. You know, and I'm thinking like, I know exactly what the problem is, right? You know, and I'm not going to say anything. But I think it's just funny. Like in the real world, this is such a real problem that like wherever you go, like this is an actual problem that people have, and the solution is it's too much JavaScript. You're running way too much JavaScript on slow end devices and things like that. And so like wherever you go, that's the problem. And so I just think it's funny that I can't escape it. Like even in the woods at a junkyard, I still have the same people explaining me to what the problem is.
Damn web developers, just the worst.
Yeah.
Well, thanks everyone for joining. Thanks everyone for listening. You can follow Adam on Twitter at Adam D. Bradley, Ben at Ben Lash, and myself at Lady Lee. And we'll see you next time.
Yep. Thanks for having me. We'll see you.
See you.